Hello and welcome to the CFO Playbook podcast. My name is David McClelland. I'm a journalist and broadcaster. I cover business, technology and leadership. And here on the CFO Playbook, I get under the skin of how world-class finance leaders from across various industries leverage technology, as well as set goals, make plans, manage teams and much, much more. And in today's special episode, we're going to be reflecting on the insightful conversations and talking points that our brilliant guests have shared on this season of the CFO Playbook over the last year, and looking forward to what's on the horizon for finance leaders in the year ahead.
I feel like we have kind of a rendezvous every year, you and I. Feels good. I'm happy for that. I'm coming back to AI, not because it's a buzzword, but I think we have passed the hype, right? So everyone was scared. Everyone had high expectation. Now this is gone. I think now what we see is a lot of tools.
A reminder that the CFO Playbook is here every month with exclusive interviews and insights from world-class finance leaders. So do subscribe and have a listen and a watch back through our extensive back catalogue. And don't be afraid to get in touch, as many of you do. Your suggestions really do help to shape our conversations. Right, on with today's show.
This episode of the CFO Playbook is brought to you by Soldo. Trusted by over 25,000 organisations across 31 countries, Soldo combines pre-programmed cards, an intuitive app, and a powerful management platform to replace manual processes with efficiency and control. To find out more or to book a demo, visit soldo.com.
Sasha Herman, CFO at Soldo. Great to have you back on the CFO Playbook once again. How are things going?
Very well. I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be back for this final episode of the year. And I'm excited to wrap up the year.
Yes, I think we all are at this point. So today, what we're going to do to wrap up the year is to bring together a handful of the key themes from the last 12 months of progressive finance leadership conversations for you and I to reflect upon. And then later on, Sasha, no pressure, I promise, I'd like to ask what you think that we can take from the year that's passed that we might apply to the year ahead. Lessons learned, predictions, call them what you will, but I promise we won't hold you to any of them. There's no one else listening or watching. It's just you and I here. Is that okay?
Sure thing. Very great. I'm happy to give my view on the great things that my peer said earlier this year. So let's rock.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, in each episode of the CFO Playbook this season, as many of you will know, I've asked our guests what the phrase progressive finance means to them. And we've grouped today their responses into some key themes. And our first theme of the year is finance, not only as a reporter, but as a strategic partner. Here's what our guests had to say.
So, progressive finance means for me, put in place and empower teams which display the following traits. First, you want to get the technical expertise part right. This goes without saying, if that's not there, you have nothing to work with in the first place. But on top of that, you want senior managers in your team who are what I would call listenable. And by that, I mean who can put out relatable, concrete, actionable advice to your clients, which does not stop with numbers, but rather extends to matters of risk, strategy, business judgment, and most important of all, growth. If you pair that with the ability to make complicated financial terms explainable to also the non-financial literate cohort in your firm, I think everybody will thank you. If all of this is in place, I think a CFO can act as a true co-pilot to the CEO in the actual sense.
I see it a little bit like in the way that donut economics is for economics. I see it as a donut economics for finance and how it works. So it's not just about putting the numbers together. It's broader than that. And the role of the team working within finance in helping drive decision-making in an agile way by empowering them and drive better decision-making.
I think progressive finance is about enabling greater collaboration across teams, whether they're specific elements of finance or broadly across a business, to create smarter decisions. So yeah, collaboration and better decision making. It's really key not to silo out teams. If you want to scale and grow, progressive finance is going to mean working really collaboratively with both people and technology.
I would want my finance teams to not be rearview mirror oriented. So what I would want them to do is to be in the boat and not only looking at the present, but looking out into what the future of the business should be, right? And so what that means is they're in the boat rowing, as opposed to standing on the pier, you know, directing traffic. And then rowing in the same direction as everyone else, as opposed to saying after the fact, hey, you guys rowed in the wrong direction. So they should be not only rowing, but also guiding at the same time. And so I think that is a hallmark of any good finance team. They're going to be partners with each of the business units or business functions, and they should be in the boat rowing in the same direction.
To me, progressive finance is about change. And how do you make the finance function a force for change in the organization? How do you make finance be at the front end of decisioning, actually leading the way, rather than being after the fact and, you know, can you just record these transactions in the ledgers? But how are you leading from the front? In what decisions should we be making? What decisions are we making? Where are we heading? How does finance lead the way on AI adoption or anything else in cutting edge tools, smart methods to support the organization and help everybody else then to be on the front foot and move faster?
Clips there from Thomas Schindler at Alliance Global Investors, Jitesh Soda from Spire Healthcare, Charlie Hunt from Origin, Hemant Kapadia from Anaplan, and Liz Kistruck from Motorway. Sasha, our guests have had a lot to say this year on the role that finance has to play as that strategic partner in the business, not simply as a reporter. What did you take away from those clips and conversations?
We'll reflect on what Thomas said about the CFO or the finance leader being a co-pilot to CEO. I think it's a very interesting concept. It's very true. I would even push it a little bit further, because the reality is, as a finance leader, building bridges between finance functions and the rest of the business is even more important than just with the CEO. The CEO is key, obviously. There is no discussion. But the ability of building bridge with other and having a transparent and trustful relationship is, I think, what moves the needle. Finance is centrally positioned, right? So we are trained to deal with information and people from different businesses and different departments. It's true that the collaboration has to be with everyone, and I would say not only with the CEO. When it comes about the view that Herman Brook spoke about, which is the rear mirror. True. This is something that we hear a lot about rear mirroring. It's obviously important that finance looks forward, but it takes a bit of company culture as well, because if the company's culture is expecting finance only to be and deliver the perfect reporting or the perfect budget, well, it does not allow finance team to look beyond this. And it's kind of a collaboration as well. Needs a bit of company culture to take the best of the finance team and finance leaders.
Yeah, I echo your points entirely there. It's about collaboration there and that partnering role, whether it's with the CEO or really any other C-suite or other departments as a whole. It's the ability to collaborate. And in some organizations, that's going to require change. That's going to require breaking down silos in order to do that. And that is often a culture thing, as you say. And then the other thing, and I noticed this watching back, we've had a lot of metaphors this year to do with motoring, whether that was with Liz from Motorway, and I think with Ben Dooley as well. And what was fascinating, you know, we had that rear view mirror that you just mentioned there. And it is a case of you're looking forward, you're scanning the horizon, but you are absolutely aware of what's around you, what's behind you, the reporting aspect, what's either side of you. Maybe that's your collaborators or competitors, but also what's ahead. So you know to change lanes if you need to, change strategic direction, or advise if you are a co-pilot, advise your driver to change lanes. So those metaphors, I know they can kind of dip into cliche, but I also find them incredibly helpful as well. Our second theme of the year this year, Sasha, it centers on the role that technology plays to enable that real-time, automated, smarter finance function. Here's what our guests on the CFO Playbook this year had to share about technology as a catalyst.
Progressive finance for me means integrating sustainability into the financial decision-making. And here, what I mean is sustainability is not a cost, it's an investment. It's an investment towards our operation, the quality of our product, and the social governance, actually. So it's sustainability integration into our investment. If we don't do it, we're just missing something. And it's not even an investment. In fact, that's something that should come naturally on the agenda. The second part is about technological integration. That's the way I see progressive finance. I mean, it's about leveraging data analytics and all advanced finance technologies. And here the idea is that we should get real-time financial performance and we shouldn't spend time in reinventing the wheel about forecasts. We have loads of data. We could use that to predict what could be a forecast, and then we could adjust it. The role of finance people is to add value, is not to be a data cruncher person. We can use technology for that. So yeah, in the end, for me, progressive finance is integrating sustainability and technology.
Like, what does finance look like? Where were we? It was enterprise finance. Now it's kind of like an intuitive business that we're in. So I think it's really driving this continuous journey, leveraging the tools that we have to be more effective, to have a better experience. And I'm going to really wrap this around experience because I think that's kind of the key and the most important thing is how do we make sure that it's a better experience for our customers and for our employees, and we're able to make decisions faster. So if I think about progressive finance, it's how are we continuing to progress in the finance function? And right now, that's being that intuitive business arm. It used to be historical data, and now it's driving the business.
For me, the phrase probably makes me think of two things. The first is continuous improvement. And the second is kind of doing more than just reading the weather. And for continuous improvement, it's kind of the finance function itself. I would think about always looking to make things better. And that can come from hiring better talent or just having a culture that is more than just, this is how it was done last year. I'm going to do the same thing again. And we also touched on the technology, and clearly that for the right situations, that can also be a way to kind of turbocharge a finance function. And then on kind of doing more than just reading the weather, by that I mean trying to be a CFO and a finance team that thinks strategically and tries to be value add to the business.
Clips there from our conversations on the podcast with Claire Coulier from Nestle, Monica Prouty from IBM, and Ben Dooley from Axel. Sasha, the advances of technology, we've all witnessed them, haven't we, over the last year or so, particularly around artificial intelligence. It's no surprise that our finance leaders on the show had a lot to share about how best to leverage this technology for the benefit, not only of the finance function, but for the business as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. I think Claire's point around leveraging data analytics is very central, right? Because we have so many data that is now collected, and not just the finance data, but we have data collected all over the place. Every department now is using SaaS tools and softwares all over the place. So we collect a huge amount of data, and bringing this data together and having someone like finance who is neutral to the business, I would say, and has the ability to look cross-functionally at all these data brought together is really so powerful that it can make a huge difference. And by the way, it helps as well to think and look beyond what's coming tomorrow versus looking in the mirror, right? In the back mirror. So this is helping a lot. And then when it comes about Ben's comment around embracing changes. I would even double down on this because I don't think we have any choice, right? AI is here. We passed the hype. We have to embrace it. It's not that we can pick to embrace it or not. Because, well, if we don't embrace it, we will not be able to recruit talent anymore because the technology stack will be aged and then no one will want to work in a company that has old technology because, well, it harms their ability to be successful, the employees, I mean, and to find a new job or another job one day. So we have no alternative. We have to embrace technology to attract the right talents. And basically with technology, the job is nicer, right? More exciting, more interesting. So I don't think we have any choice.
That conversation with Monica Pruti from IBM, it's the three-legged stool that she gave an extra leg to: people, process, and technology. And she adds in data into that. You know, this is what you need within an organization. And back to your point there, and really linking together with the first point about collaboration. If data exists in silos, the same as leaders, you need to be able to collaborate across the floor, across different departments. Sometimes there are challenges there. When it comes to the ones and zeros of data, sometimes that data itself can become very siloed as well. So to have the neutral function, as you put it there, Sasha, that can be that kind of central point that can facilitate bringing data together and leveraging value from it is really important. And coming back to that people, process, technology, data piece, the technology, of course, plays an increasingly significant role in finance, but it still needs people, doesn't it, with the right talent, the right skills to drive it and keep it on track. And that is exactly what our next guest reflected on.
So I mentioned equality. So in the sector I'm in currently, we are quite heavily male focused. And one thing I would say GB Real Freight has been doing and is doing quite well, working on, is that improving on representation. And because we've come to understand that, see, for our business to be sustainable and attractive to the younger generation, we need to rethink how we recruit and ensuring that we have the right representation and in terms of talents and skills, and also, socioeconomic dynamics. So that's something we are intentional about, making sure we can attract women into, you know, to drive trains, which typically you find men doing, and, you know, challenging the status quo to say, see, women can do this as well, and making it attractive, I would say, to also the younger generation in terms of sustainability.
And that was from our conversation with Funto Agbeniga from GB Rail Freight. Sasha, what was your takeaway from what Funto had to say about building great finance teams?
Funto raised two topics that basically are adjacent. One is a female representation or the diversity in finance. And I think it's obviously important because we want to work in a diverse environment because, well, when you have this type of diversity, is more interesting. You have different views. And I think it makes the journey more enjoyable. And I remember when I was working in another technology company in Investor saying, hey, if we are not able to build a very diverse team, because our customers, by definition, will be diverse, we will not be able to seduce them anymore. And we will not be able to build the right product for them. So the diversity is safeguarding the ability of a company to build the right product for the right audience. So I think it's really, really, really relevant, even much more that we would think. And I like this quote of having a diverse team to build the right product for the diversity that is out there. The second thing that that Funto raised is making finance attractive. I think we are coming a long way, right? From, as you said earlier, rear mirror viewing, reporting only, and having a bad reputation of being the guy and the female who says no to everything. I think this is long gone. Now we are in a completely different environment and different vibes, right? Today's webinar and all this year's webinar are an example of promotion. And I hope that the younger generation who will look at those webinars will say, oh, that's cool. Why not joining a finance function? And another thing, I think that is instrumental is the AI revolution, because we know the technology stack of finance is more often not at the forefront when it comes to adopting changes, right? So the technology stack of finance leader will change next year, definitely. AI-enabled tools will be more frequently used. And I think this will make sure that, well, the coming generations will have an interesting job, and that the job as well will even more be seen as an enabling job and not this kind of old-fashioned way to look at finance. So I think it's a great place, and we can shape how people see finance.
I'm pleased you brought up those points there, and certainly in terms of diversity and this podcast as an example of diversity, we do work very, very hard to bring as many different voices to our audience as possible. And I'll use this as a prompt for our audience. If there's something we're not talking about, if there's some people that we're not speaking to, then get in touch. You'll find us on social media. You can find our email addresses. You can find ways to contact us, of course. Let us know what we're not talking about, and we will do what we can in the next season and beyond to make sure that we're having those conversations and we're able to have as rich and a diverse discourse around finance and finance leadership and the future as we possibly can. And then to your second point there, Sasha, as well, about the role that technology, again, we're kind of magically linking together all of these themes. It's great. The role that technology, AI in this case, might be playing in order to maybe remove some of the stuff that is less attractive. You know, you speak about making finance more attractive to a new generation. Yes, we all need to look in the rearview mirror, whatever role we're in, but actually, being able to look forward to create what is next is really, really important. And that is an important perspective that several of our guests have shared on this series, the evolving role of the finance function from that guardianship and the reporting, as we said earlier, into active creation. So our leaders this season have had this to say on finance as a driver of innovation.
Progressive finance is a function that moves from being guardians of established processes and value to drivers of innovation that generates new value. And obviously, there is an element, there's always been an element of, fiduciary element and element of trust and being the single source of truth that is part of finance, and it's very, very important. But there is another element of being the actor and the driver of value through innovation that finance should take. And this is, for me, progressive finance.
One of the parts of the job that I enjoy most is being faced with a problem and having to kind of think creatively to find options on how to solve it and trying to think beyond. So, for example, it's easy for a CFO to just outsource to these third-party advisors, this disposed experts, and leave it at that, but try to solve things yourself, be creative beyond the normal course. It's really fun.
GSK's Ricardo Caliano and Ben Dooley from Excel once again. And Sasha, I think as we were saying, there is an overlap here, isn't there, with where we began our conversation today around understanding the role that finance plays in an organization. But this time, I think we're talking about more explicitly than simply partnering reporting. This time, Ricardo and Ben here are speaking about the CFO and their team as driving innovation, about creating new value for the business.
I very much like the quote of Ben saying, or the quote about shaping the forecast. I think it's a very nice metaphor that basically puts us in the right position, us meaning finance leaders. We are here to collaborate, right? And we are cross-functional. We have said it earlier already. We have the ability to look across the whole organization, which gives us kind of a superpower, right? Our superpower is to reach out, see all the data across the organization, and then basically bring everything together and through good relationship with other execs, basically influence the journey and convince people on the trajectory to take. And And I think really it requires trust, transparency, but we as finance leader have this ability, and the finance team in general, we are trained to be cross-functional, right? So it requires the good fundamental within an organization to open the door to finance, right? You open the door to finance, and then you will see how finance can influence you and can enable things. Because, well, more often than not, the success of finance comes from what? Comes from the success of the organization, which comes from the success of all other teams. So we understand that to be the CFO or the finance leader of a successful company, we need to help others to be successful. And then, naturally, the company will be on the right trajectory. And it takes a bit of courage, right? Because expecting from a finance team to work day and night on a perfect budget is much easier than trusting the finance team to help all others to be successful. But I think it's the right thing to do, because there is no value. This is a bit of an exaggeration, but there is a very limited value in spending so many hours in perfecting a budget that, per definition, will not be right, because it's kind of a representation of the future. It's much more important to shape the future, as Ben said, instead of trying to build the perfect picture of the future and waste hours doing this.
Yeah, and I think it was Monica Pruti from IBM, who spoke very eloquently about, you know, not bringing PowerPoints to CFO conversations anymore, because the amount of time you spend creating them, reflecting back, looking in that rearview mirror for the last 12 months, they're already out of date by the time you have that meeting. So
it's impossible for any team or any human being to be focusing so much on perfecting a PowerPoint, as Monica said, or perfecting an Excel, and at the same time being able to look further and be part of shaping the future. Both basically are very difficult. So you have to pick your battle and accept that, well, if the future is important, then you have to accept a budget that is right, but not perfect.
Technology can certainly help there, and you know, seeing it on the screen in front of you. I'm going back. I'm in my car at the moment, and I've got my rearview mirror. I've got my dash display in front of me with real time speeds and feeds. I've got my sat nav perhaps on my center console that's giving me a bit of foresight about where the traffic jams up ahead might be, and whether I might need to take a different route to get to my destination. And then I've got my own eyesight, my own knowledge, my own view of what might be on horizon. There's lots of different things that we have available to look at. And what I would like to do is for us to look through the windscreen and look at the future, Sasha, because we just look back at 2025's most important finance leadership themes as seen through the eyes of our CFO playbook guests. Now let's say that you and I were to meet up, just as we did this time last year, you and I were to meet up this time next year on a similar type of conversation. What do you predict that we might be reflecting upon as the big themes, the big conversation points with our guests this time next year in 2026?
I feel like we have kind of a rendezvous every year, you and I. Feels good. I'm happy for that. I think I'm coming back to AI, not because it's a buzzword, but I think we have passed the hype, right? So everyone was scared. Everyone had high expectation. Now this is gone. I think now what we see is a lot of tools contains AI in the tool that are here, right? So for 2026, it's about picking the right tool to use and starting to take advantage of AI. And in very simple things, right? Accelerating the month-end close, having AI looking at the transaction and seeing if there is any outlier or trend or whatsoever. I think we next year we will have the first year of learnings of how AI can help finance leaders and finance teams through enabling and using tools that contains AI. And it's exciting because, well, we will not see efficiency gains because, well, we will have to bring new tools in, onboard them, learn, and it's not that we will be able to, as some fear, like reduce the size of the team. That's not, I think, where we will be, and it's not where we should go. We should have a better quality of data that we provide, have a better view of the data we use, and as well have a stronger close. And get rid of tasks that are low added value so that we can, again, look a bit further. And I think we will next year have the first learning on this journey.
Thank you. And that echoes a number of conversations that I've had over the year with leaders, not only from the finance sector, but also from the technology area as well, and technology leaders in organizations. And I may have said it on the podcast before, but it's that move from AI being predominantly a personal productivity tool, you know, something that can help me to respond to difficult emails or can categorize my inbox for me and, you know, do all of those sort of chatbot type things that were the entry point for this modern generative AI cycle that we're on right now. It's when it moves from the productivity piece into the processes, actual things that can not just supercharge me as an individual, but can supercharge my operation, my organization, my business. And once those processes become fundamentally faster, more efficient, that's when the whole organization can start to work better. So yes, it is a journey, and it is about finding the right value. To your point, lots of products have got bits of AI that are either right at the heart of them now or have kind of been stuck on the side. And it's finding the right tools that work for us and realizing that value and maybe discarding some of the AI novelties that might have piqued our interest and don't actually add much value to what it is that we do. Sasha, thank you so much for joining us today for this, well, let's see, annual look back over the last series and a look forward to what's next. It's great to see you again. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and see you next year.
See you next year. And that is all the time that we have for today, and indeed for this season. As you've heard today, we've featured some brilliant guests with some unique insights here on the CFO Playbook this season. And of course, you can listen to or watch the conversations in full wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us this past year. We will be back with a new season packed with even more insights from finance leaders. We'll be back very soon indeed. But for now, from me, David McClelland, and from all of the team here at the CFO Playbook, until next time, bye-bye.